Ferial Haffagy joins us on the line, Daily Maverick Associate Editor. She's going to help us think through all of this. People are considering spoiling their vote. In fact, the Reverend June Dolly has started a movement, hashtag no faith in the system, vote no, spoil your ballot. And I understand where she's coming from. She's disgruntled with politics in general. How do you resonate with her feelings?
So, Karen, it's interesting to me that 13 million South Africans just didn't register. So about 27 million or 43 million eligible voters registered. That's a pretty big turn away, or what you can read as a protest vote, is people just don't trust in the system to deliver anything to them, and so they're not going to take part in it.
So the biggest block, you are saying, people that haven't even registered?
Yes, 13 million people, that's a lot.
And you're saying it's not apathy, it is an intentional message that they're seeking to send?
Maybe it's the normalizing of our democracy. It tallies with what happens across the world as democracies mature. People don't turn out to vote. But if you then combine it with the Reverend's view that we don't trust politicians, we don't like them, and you have to protest, then spoiling your ballot is a very calculated decision to make.
But the assumption is that politicians are going to read the room. They're going to understand the message, a spike in spoiled ballots. They're going to come to their senses and work more so in the favor of the people of South Africa. I do not believe that politicians necessarily have a conscience.
I don't. And I mean, previously spoiled ballots of the people who do turn out, because then your expectation is on the 27 million people who have registered. It can be low, median, or high voter turnout. I think it's going to be a median turnout. That's another almost maybe 40 to 50% of people who don't come out to vote. In the face of that, then, the spoiled ballot has always been a tiny proportion of what actually happens in the voting stations on the day.
Yeah, so it's not an option for you, for example.
No. I'm going to vote tactically using my three ballots, so it's not an option to me. But generally, it's a very historically accepted decision to make, to spoil a ballot. You can even write something there. You know, I don't believe in politicians, or you all lie, or you don't do your work. It's a way of protesting.
For how long have you been voting tactically, Ferial?
So I've always voted at first, historically, until very recently. And I think this will be the first election where I'm giving very, very serious attention to a tactical vote and studying the permutations of how you use these three ballots to vote tactically.
Can I ask you a very pointed question then as well?
I'm not telling you who I'm voting for.
No, I don't want to know who you're voting for. I want to know who you voted for. Historically.
Oh, yeah. So until 2021, in the local government election, I still voted for the ANC year because I thought that the ANC person in Johannesburg was going to do great work. It's been exactly the opposite. My poor city. I mean, I've told you about this on numerous occasions. It's been terrible.
Yeah, we're talking about Panyaza Lesufi. Of course, he did well in his portfolio as MEC for education, did he not?
Yes, he was an energetic, young, and a good education MEP. He started out, of course, as a young spokesperson of Minister Angie Motshekga at the time, and has really, he's gone places in the role, and he'd like to go more places.
Real politics is another thing. Now he's sharing smiles with the EFF. That's your article today. You say a coalition pact is in the offing.
So I've been following parties in Gauteng quite carefully, because I do think it's, along with KZN, where the election result is going to be written. And I see a very different premier on the campaign trail this time, Clarence. The other day he got very angry with some tweets I'd made, so he called me a cretin in front of lots of places.
What?
Unusual. And all that told me was that there's some measure of desperation here. So people I've asked say, oh no, we're definitely going to win. We're well over 50%. There's almost no data set that's showing you that. Gautengers are very discerning and also unhappy and competitive voters, as has been seen in the local government election.
The other article that you wrote in the Daily Maverick, and I'm chatting with Firiel Hafiji, she's associate editor there. She did the journey. She went on a bit of a road trip, and you noticed the potholes, and then they became dongas. Was it a light bulb donga?
No, you know, it's when I'm not doing elections, I'm the potholes correspondent for the Daily Maverick. because I think it's a symbol, infrastructure is a symbol of governance, and that's why I watch roads, water, and electricity so carefully, Clarence. And so they weren't a surprise. But in Mpumalanga and in the Free State, I think they tell you a story of governance that you wouldn't see in the cities. Maybe in Joburg, our roads are terrible. But there, it's the potholes have given way to either the roads go back to gravel or they just become dongas and really, really dangerous and difficult to drive on. You've seen some political parties picking up on roads as a key issue, and it does come up. It's not the biggest issue, but it does come up repeatedly.
You would take this road to the Kruger maybe a couple of times a year, given your proximity to it. Other people would have to take those roads every day. Why are they not seeing the potholes and the dongas?
Because I think it's that thing that happens, and I see it happening in Joburg as well. You can tell me with the Cape Town Western Cape is a discernibly different story for you. I think we become the victims of the tyranny of lowered expectations, Clarence. So you begin to normalize these things that you don't expect things from the state. And then because our national DNA is this, we'll make a plan, it's not so bad, or in Joburg's case, we'll just start filling bottles on our own, putting barbed wire around the substations. You just start doing things on your own. And so I think that's why it takes fresh eyes to see what has happened to a place. So I know, like, friends, family in the police state, they'll just fix entire road networks around them, do their own security, etc., etc.
Yeah. Okay, so take us into the space that you're in. You are homeless. You're not in the political home anymore. You are maybe looking for another political home, or you're not looking for a political home. What does tactical voting mean for you?
So I think it for me, just how I'm thinking this through, it's, okay, so what does a strong parliament look like? Because I sat for so many years covering the Zondo Commission, and one of the ways state capture happened was because Parliament was captured too, that it didn't act as a check and a balance for the public good, for the public ran. And so what does a strong, exciting Parliament look like that becomes a true site of national debate and accountability? So I'll make a vote for that. Then, because the provinces are where most of our spending happens and where the where good education and health policy and practice is crafted, I would want to make a strong vote for a good provincial legislature. And then there's province to national. So who are good people that you want to send from Gauteng to the national legislature? If we had like an independent like Zaki Ahmad here, I would definitely be casting my vote for that person. But I don't really know the very few candidates who we do have here. So I'm probably not going to vote for an independent. If I was in the Western Cape, it would definitely go to Zaki Ahmad.
So you want Parliament to have teeth?
Yes, I want it to be exciting and not put me to sleep and to be a place of proper debate.
Well, Malema's kind of not kind of put the country to sleep in Parliament. That's not necessarily what you want. Oh, is that what you want? More
no.
Malema? I don't want populists to make a noise.
Okay, let me make a quick diversion, if I may. I went to attend a School of Government conversation with Prof. Adebayo and Julius Malema last week. And as a politician, I found that he had truly matured. It was probably one of the more charismatic and interesting political conversations that I've been privy to on this campaign trail. It was engaged and interesting, where often I found politicians are very high on rhetoric. You see our President Ramaphosa, who is a smart politician, really on this campaign, I haven't been blown away by his interventions, to be honest. And then John Stierner is fighting such a negative and almost defensive campaign that I also haven't heard, like, really sharp ideas. So I was pleasantly surprised by Julius Malema on Thursday evening. Obviously, he was in a university, so that setting did change how he usually communicates.
That's very interesting growth that you have witnessed in Julius Malema. Are you saying more measured, less populist? Is that what this growth?
Definitely. There wasn't one of the usual, like, quite violent rich that I've been tabulating and keeping a note of for years. It was smart, engaged, and quite frank in parts, where I asked, like, what does the best place look like for you on May the 30th or May 31st once counting should be in? And he said that he wouldn't be satisfied with position 3. It would have to be position 2. It doesn't look from the polls like they're going to get there. But I did find many of his explanations of things, not persuasive for me personally, but the way it was done was mature conversation.
Oh, that would be interesting. I don't think he's stupid. I never did think that he was stupid.
No.
And maturity with that kind of streetwise personality is could be very a compelling proposition for a lot of South Africans. But let's go back to the Donga ridden roads of Mpumalanga. The people ultimately that can make the difference. Do you think they're going to do that tactical vote that you are going to be doing as well?
No way. I think everything suggests that people still vote or don't vote with their loyalty. So ANC voters generally will tend to stay away. On the campaign work that I've been doing, we have been trying to stop in and have some detailed conversation with the MK gazebos that you'll find put up most weekends, and understanding why it is that people appear to be flocking to the MK party, and that's been very interesting to me. I think people feel, ANC voters feel comfortable going to MK because it doesn't feel like an act of disloyalty or a traitorous act. You're just going to a new version of the ANC. That's the sense I've gotten thus far.
Interesting. And the ex-political, the ex-deputy president Mabuza, he's not raising his hands politically in this one, as far as you can gather.
No, I'm going to try and find him in Mpumalanga and see if it's possible to interview him. I saw at the weekend that he is back on the campaign trail for the ANC, so perhaps to find where he is and then watch him quite carefully. Huh?
Okay, and then another Ipsos poll over the weekend. I don't know if you had sight of it and if there's a comment you wish to make on it. I think the trends are consolidating as far as polls are concerned.
Absolutely, they are consolidating. I've been waiting for the Ipsos one because it's the largest and it's face-to-face. So that always, I think, is better than a telephone poll. It's getting to the reaches of the country. And certainly the outcomes are consolidating and showing us who top four and then the top six parties are likely to be.
Okay. Are you in agreement with those poll results? Do they measure up to the physical experiences that you're having in communities while on this campaign trail?
No, Johnny Steinberg, who somebody I really follow a lot, he writes in a column in Business Day, he says that he has found them a travesty. I must say, I don't use them as gospel, but I have found them to be decent guides to what may happen. And they are not that far off when the final results come in. I have to add the proviso here that the DA and the EFF say that Ipsos always undercounts them. But I found maybe that undercount is not as big as parties would suggest in public conversation.
Yeah, and you say ultimately the results are going to reflect that ANC voters have stayed away from the polls. The ones that have noticed the dongas now, the dongas have become too deep for them, are going to stay away from the polls rather than go to another political party.
I think if we, and I'm going to ask someone who's very good at this to help me work out who are those 13 million people who haven't registered to vote. Are they mostly ANC voters or where are they? And then that could give you that answer. The ANC, of course, is counting on its really loyal supporters in Mpumalanga, the Free State in Limpopo, to come out in huge numbers because it needs them to counter the impact of the cities where the exodus is likely to pick up.
Yeah, and just in terms of where we are at with the PACs that are mooted, do you think they are strong enough to withstand the tests of you know the campaign trail?
I think the PACs that are mooted are really quickly proving to be things in flux and fluidity, and that I must still go and check out whether the multi-party charter pact is holding sufficiently to hold and pull well after the election. But I think that period immediately after the results come in is going to see a lot of shifts and changes as new alliances and agreements are struck. So I see shaping a couple, like the one I wrote about today. I think an ANC-EFF pact, certainly in Gauteng, maybe in some other provinces is possible. And then you may very well have a different national pact, maybe a grand coalition ANC-DA-led, or otherwise some other formation. If the ANC gets in the high 40s, then it will only need a couple of smaller parties like Good Al-Jamaa and one other to get it over the line there.
Okay, well, your insight's always important to us, and there's a lot of thinking on this front, and I just think it's great that we're moving away from that emotionally invested kind of position that we may have had in the past. Emotionally invested in the fortunes of a political party. I think we must disinvest, and we must be more emotionally invested in a better South Africa for all of us. And that's going to need you to just brush up on the maths as well.